to Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Excuse me, verse 9. The title of my message this morning is The Two Sides of the Cross. Now, the cross is very central to the Christian church or the Christian life for the last 2,000 years. May I say there is perhaps not no word other than the words of the Lord, Jesus and so forth, that is more central to the Christian church than the cross. And I question this morning what the cross means to you when you stop and consider it, when you think about it, when you read it, when you read the verses that talk about it. But I would like to look at it. I feel this morning that it is very essential. So essential that we need to continue to preach the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for the ease of understanding, I have made that two sides of a cross because I believe there is a death side to the cross where we look at the death that was wrought on there and apply that to our lives. And then on the other side, there is a resurrection side that was also wrought out of that cross, and that we also, as a church and as Christians and individuals, need to apply to our very lives too. So that's what I want to endeavor to do in this message on the two sides of the cross. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What this simply means to me this morning in Romans chapter 7 is the fact that there was a time in innocency where we were alive without the cross of Jesus Christ in that sense. In that there is an innocency that is accepted by God or before accountability that we are safe in the hands of God or in the hands of Jesus. That's what I believe that refers to. But he says, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And that simply means to me that when the law or the commandments of the Bible were given to me and preached to me and read to me, then I saw that I wasn't measuring up to the commandment, and all at once I saw that I was guilty of sin and I died. Or in other words, I comprehended and concluded the fact that I'm not innocent anymore. I'm not safe in Jesus. I'm not alive. And Paul is saying in his own experience that the commandment came, sin stuck its ugly head up, and I died. And I believe that is the condition and the predicament that every child finds himself in. There is a childhood innocency that we recognize, that we believe if children die, having never chosen evil, that they are innocent in the hands of God. But under the preaching of the cross, under the preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the commandments of the Lord and what God desires of His people, children realize something isn't right inside of them when they come up to the age of accountability. They were able to reason this and understand this. They come to an age of accountability where they sense that, and all at once their sin becomes exceedingly sinful or personally sinful, and they enter into what is a comprehension of spiritual death. They're not alive. They're dead. Spiritually. They don't have the power to overcome sin. They don't have the power to live for God. And so I would like to use this as a basis to say that all of us need to face the two sides of the cross. Let us turn now to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And I'll just read another verse before we go into Romans 6 on this. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And that means that there is none righteous of himself. We are, in a sense, born dead. We are born sinners. We have the sin of Adam upon our lives. We have inherited the sinful nature. And that is the predicament that we discover in our lives a lot of times somewhere around 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age, is that we want to do good, but we can't do it. We have a love for God. We want to do what's right. We want to serve Him. We don't want to grieve our parents. We don't want to grieve the God of heaven. And in that, but we aren't able to perform it. And I can remember that very specifically in my own life. I know it used to grieve me when I grieved my father. And I know it used to grieve me when I grieved my God. There was a conscience within that began to scream out inside that, hey, I'm not living right. Hey, I'm not doing right. And guilt came into our lives. And in that sense, we begin to sense that we are in the claws and grips of spiritual death, and something needed to happen. Now that nature is inherited from Adam, and every soul that was ever born other than the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth has that sinful nature. It has inherited from Adam, and even though he has never personally sinned, he still has that nature. However, because he has that nature, every person has personally sinned too. He can't help it. He sins because he is born in sin. He sins because he has a sinful nature. He sins because he was wrought in sin, we may say, from Adam's transgression back in the Garden of Eden. But we praise the Lord. The Bible has an answer for this entire problem that we want to look at. All right, now let us turn to Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, I think we will go to verse 3 here. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? This verse tells us that there is a, and I believe this to be a spiritual baptism here primarily, even though the water baptism is a type of it, and you can perhaps bring that along in. But I think we're looking here at a spiritual baptism, or basically the new birth experience. That experience is a baptism into Jesus Christ, and it's a baptism into his death. Now what we're saying by that is that every soul needs to experience a death. We have it, the tenor of the New Testament scripture, that we are to die with Christ. And that Christ died for us, and that we need to die. And that old things need to die. Old things need to pass away. Old things need to be put off. And we have this thought throughout the New Testament. But the thought we get from it, and we have the very words, that there needs to be a dying with Christ. And so we look at the cross, and for the sake of illustration, we will look at it at both sides of the cross, to the both sides of the platform up here this morning, as we consider this fact that we need to die with Christ and then to be resurrected with him. So let's look here at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should be raised up by the glory of the Father, I think it's saying, and walk in newness of life. In order for any person to free himself from the Adamic sin-cursed nature and be free and delivered from it and live with any amount of ability for God, to please God and to serve God, there has to be a severance of the old nature. There has to be a death, a spiritual work in the heart that brings about a death to the old nature. And that's one side of the cross that we want to look at this morning. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And if we can just make a cross up here this morning so you can get a clear view of Jesus Christ going on the cross. Now, He had no sin. He was a sinless man. He had innocent blood. But He died for the sins of humanity, for my sin and for your sin. Now it is necessary that we experience that death ourselves. And the Bible says clearly that we need to be planted in the likeness of that death. And if you can view the cross up here this morning, then I want you to view it with Christ hanging on it and the blood coming dripping down. And that Jesus literally, bodily, physically died. Not spiritually, but physically, literally, and bodily. He died there. Now He says in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. That simply means that our carnal will and nature, our frustration, our anger, our lust, our drive to sin, our tendency to sin, needs to be planted there in a cross alongside of Christ, or I like to view it better, that whole system needs to be nailed to the cross with Christ and die there with Him. In my experience in dealing with Christians or with sinners coming to repentance, I find that is a tangible way that a person can get a hold of their old nature, their carnal will that they cannot keep under, that they can't keep under control, that they can't rule over, is to have a spiritual experience, a new birth, if you please, into which they come to grips with their problem and nail it to the cross and consider Christ's death for it and to see that blood is an atonement for it. We may ask ourselves the question, why did Jesus die? And I like to say usually on that question, why did He die? First of all, He died for the atonement to shed innocent blood to satisfy the requirements of God for the atonement for sin. Because God wanted to take sinners in, but there's no way He could do it until somebody atoned for Him with innocent, sinless blood. So Christ offered His blood on the cross, and He atoned for sin. We are accepted in the sight of God. But that's not all. He died so you could die. He didn't die just to shed His blood. That blood is the spiritual power to make us acceptable unto God. But He died so you and I could die. To sin, to our nature, to our lust, to our anger, to our problems of life, that we other than that would not be able to control. And I think we have to get graphical with this, enough of clarity in our speech and understanding up here this morning, that we realize that if you and I are struggling with a sin of the flesh that you can't get rid of, that you view that thing so clearly that you actually on your knees in a council room or in a closet or when you're being dealt with, actually picture yourself dying literally 2,000 years ago on the cross with Christ in order to change your life. Now let me see Colossians chapter 2. And I'll show you another verse, another set of verses that tell us the same thing to substantiate that in our message here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. May I read verse 11? In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, showing that it's a spiritual experience, not something we do with our hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, which is your carnal will, sinful will and nature, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him, there we have those words again, buried with Him, die with Him, in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him, there we have it again, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together, having forgiven all your trespasses. It is clear in the Scripture, the way to die with, the way to get rid of your sins and to get rid of your sinful nature is to die with Christ. Some people come to you and say, my heart is so hard. I usually like to think there's a foreskin over that has to be circumcised off. Actually, it has to be cut away and to be thrown away and to be taken away by the death of Christ. I believe the self-life dies there. I believe the struggles that you have with evil habits die there. I believe the struggles you have with your literal struggles to stay sweet and to stay godly and to stay Christian and to have a Christian life and spirit, that all happens there. There is a death that takes place in our lives. You know, I remember this was preached on when we first began as a church, and I think Brother Denny had once preached on the subject, and he said, I don't know if I can say exactly what happens, but I know something dies. Something dies. And I would just like to lift that up as that side of the cross. There is a death side of the cross that we need to look at literally and personally for each one of our lives and the problems we have with sin. So many people said Jesus died on the cross for my sins. But it's a little more than that. It's a little more meaningful. It's a little deeper. It's a little more personal. And it's a little more reality for you and I if you can get a hold of this thing. I have led people to the foot of the cross in this way numerous times, and I can tell you, I've seen the effects in the lives of people that they can actually be crying over their problems. And why am I this way? Why do I do these things? I don't want to live like this. But I just find myself over and over again in this sin. And I say, well, there's something working in there that needs to die. And Jesus died for you so this thing can die. And these are the scriptures that I lay out to them and to you this morning. In this sense, we can rock a death in our life with Christ. It's a work of faith. Because it happened 2,000 years ago. And you say, now how can I go back 2,000 years ago? Here I am in 1991, and I can't get victory over my temper, and I can't stay sweet for Jesus, and I can't control my emotions and my moods. How can I die to the mess I'm in when it happened 2,000 years ago? And that is where the work of faith comes in. The only way we ever get anywhere in a Christian life anyhow is by faith. So you need to do this by faith. You need to look back there. Do you know what happened? First of all, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But we must believe the record that God gave of his son, that actually happened. Then we have to visualize that fact, or to comprehend it in our hearts by faith. Yes, 2,000 years ago, Christ died for mankind, and he died for me. And you think and meditate upon that. And then you look by faith and say, and now he has made his death a death for all mankind ever since, that whoever wants death in their life for their sins and problems can die with him. And that's a beautiful and powerful truth in all of our lives. Well, you say, I tried that a couple of times and it keeps coming up. Well, I'm not sure if I have a scripture for this right now or not, but I would like to say, I keep on putting it to death until it's dead. I can't say that it always worked out immediately in my own life, that once was enough in every case in my own life. In fact, I know it wasn't. But I would say if you get that view and get that vision and it does come back up again, that you go back at it again and you view that cross again by faith, and you lay it down there again. And you say, well, I've done it 4 or 5 times. And then it finally becomes evident that individuals have not looked at it seriously or rightly. It's been too light. And I'll show you that by the scripture as we proceed here a little more. Oh, I think it's over in chapter 6. Yes, in verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth... No, excuse me. Verse 10, for in that he died in the sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now that, I wondered, as I read over that, why that word once is there. For in that he died in the sins once, and now ever since that he's saying he lives unto God. And I would like to emphasize the fact that the thing that I'm talking about is nothing other or different than a new birth experience. But if that If that death didn't take place, then I want you to conclude that the new birth was never complete in your life. Now, that doesn't mean absolute victory. I'm saying if you didn't sense a dying to your former earthly, carnal, will and nature, then something's not right. It's not deep enough. It's not complete. And here he shows us, and he uses this, for in that he died in the sins once. Died in the sin once, but in that he liveth on the God. That should be the normal experience of our Christian life. In other words, this should be one major experience in our life. That we die unto the dictates of sin. We desire die unto our carnal will and nature once in a new birth experience, and from then on we live under God. Yes, we have individual sins that crop up from time to time, but not the sin nature. Not the drive to sin, not the domineering sin, not the control of sin. And that's the way I believe it should be. However, I would like to say, if for some reason a backslidden condition comes into your life, that you again have that major sin nature driving you, which that has happened to a multitude of Christians, then I say don't be too embarrassed to say, even though you were born again 15 years ago, that you need something again. That you need another one. As long as sin reigns in your mortal body, you need something of a spiritual experience that will take care of it, because God has a provision. And don't just say, because I had it back there, that I don't need anything anymore. Because sin shall not have dominion, and if sin has dominion, then something's wrong. Now, so there's a death side of the cross that we want to look at and make it relevant to our lives. But then on the other side, there is also a resurrection that we want to look at. And that we have over in verse 5 again. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now we can come over here to the other side of the cross, and we can look at a resurrection side. And we look at the fact that Jesus died, yes he did, 2,000 years ago, and his body went into the grave. But that is not where it stopped. That's not where he stayed. He did not just die and shed his blood, and I could go that far with it if I'd only stop at the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can say the blood was shed. Yes, even innocent blood was shed for the sins of humanity, and he died. And I could even go so far as to try to die with him spiritually. But that was not the end of Jesus, and that is not the end of us. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also, by faith again, be planted in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, 3 days later, after Jesus died and was in the grave, you know the story. He was resurrected triumphantly over the grave and over sin and over all those other things. By the Spirit of God. That's what resurrected him out of the grave. Now he's saying here in Romans chapter 6 that we also by faith can view that part of it and can reckon that to happen in our lives, and we can be planted together in the likeness of his resurrection too. That is the entire work. I call that the work of regeneration. There is a consciousness that we make of our sin and of our sinful nature. But we don't only try to kill. We don't only try to die. We don't only try to stop doing. And too many Christians, there has been only that one side of the cross, and it's not enough. There has to be a coming to grips with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which infuses power and life into us just like it did in his old dead body. It was dead 3 days in the grave, and just like it tore the bindings or the wrappings that were around him aside, and he came forth triumphant from then on, that's the same experience spiritually that should work in our lives when we take that and accept that by faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, it burdens my heart when you have people emphasizing the fact that there are whole groups of people doing it, there are whole religions that do it, that they emphasize the nothingness and the death and the and the depravity, and oh, we can't do it, and we don't know have the answer, we don't know what to do, we're just nothing, we're just nothing, oh, we're just nothing. Well, yes, we are nothing, but I once preached this message in another place, and I call it from something to nothing to something. Yes, we are nothing in the death of Christ. We have to see our nothingness and see our depravity and see that we can't do it of ourselves. But that's why Jesus resurrected. That's why he went to the cross and came and then died and came back up out of it, is to bring spiritual power to do that work in your carnal will and life. I'll show it more to you by the Scripture. Let us look at over in Romans 8, I think. Romans 8, I believe it is, verse 9. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Or in other words, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't know what I'm talking about, you won't have this power, you won't have this effect. This effect comes into your and my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, and if Christ be in you, and the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Isn't that the answer? I don't know anything plainer than that. If the Spirit and Christ, and it's very clear in the Bible, that Christ was raised up from the dead by the Spirit of God. That's what raised him up. That's how he got power in his body, and that changed him, and he comes shining right out of there, and the keepers became as dead men, and nobody could stop him, and nobody had to roll a stone away either. I mean, he'd have come out right through the middle of it. Wouldn't have mattered to him. The only reason they rolled the stone away is to let the people see the empty tomb. That's the only reason the stone was rolled away, not to let him out. He'd have come out right through it. He was able to go through closed doors, walls, and anything after he come up out of there. I mean, he had power. If that Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall also quicken your earthly, mortal, carnal body, that you can walk in newness of life. And you can go through closed doors, tight walls, tombs, stones, and what have you that are holding you back with your old life and with sin, and you're able to come up out of there too. That's what the Scripture is saying here in Romans chapter 8. I believe it with all my heart. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do it to you, he's saying. Quicken your mortal body. And that word quicken means make alive your mortal body. Not wait till you get the glory and then you have the resurrected life over on the streets of gold and you're able to live right over there when the sin is removed. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying he'll quicken your mortal body.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 16 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other messages in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.